When was Paul set apart for the gospel? When was Paul called? Was it on the Damascus Road? No, couldn't have been. That's when he received his calling. But it wasn't on the Damascus Road. It says when it pleased God. When did it please God? Before he was ever born.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, hello everyone, and thank you for joining us for the broadcast. Today, we continue Pastor Bill's study from the New Testament epistle of Galatians. Pastor has titled today's message, The Source of the Gospel. Now, Pastor Bill.
Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the epistle of Paul to the churches of Galatia, as I turn there with you as well. And, you know, the epistle of Paul to the churches of Galatia, tremendous, tremendous six chapters. You know, last week we talked about the truth of the gospel, and we watched Paul not practice a doctrine of tolerance. Matter of fact, his great defense of those who would do anything to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. We learned that there's only one gospel, amen? There's only one Savior, and there's only one way to be saved. With all of that, remember that the theme, the freedom in Christ through the book of Galatians, but really the theme could be, what really makes a person a Christian? I mean, is it faith alone, or is it faith plus something else, works or whatever, baptism, or do we have to do certain things to be saved? Is just believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth, truly meaning that, asking Jesus to be our Lord, is that simply enough to be saved? Well, the gospel here in the book of Galatians, of course, it answers that question for us. Remember that the Judaizers, not only did they pervert the gospel, we learned that last Sunday, the truth of the gospel, but they denied that grace, the grace of God, that unconditional, unearned favor of God, they said it wasn't enough, that Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension wasn't enough. It had to be Jesus plus something else in order to be saved. You know, in other words, legalism instead of grace. And we know when we get toward the end of Galatians, we're going to find out what Paul is telling us. In Galatians, for example, 6:15, Paul writes about circumcision. He goes, listen, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. It doesn't mean anything, but he says, but a new creation. Remember in Acts chapter 15, which is one of the most glorious chapters in the whole Bible, when they met there in Jerusalem to decide on the gospel of grace. And it says in Acts 15:1 that certain men came in, and those certain men were the Judaizers, and into the council before Peter and James and all the rest of them, and they came in bringing a doctrine straight from hell, if you will, the doctrine of Satan, and they said in order for a person to be saved, he must be circumcised. And you know, praise the Lord, that the council, of course, totally rejected that. So we're going to look at the source of the gospel in these few verses, but also we're going to talk about something else. What makes Christianity, what makes the gospel different than all the other religions in the entire world? We're going to answer that question. So let's look in Galatians 1:11, the source of the gospel. And Paul writes, and he says this, listen, I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel, the good news, the death, the resurrection of our Lord, the ascension, the gospel was preached by me is not according to what? A man. Now, what makes Christianity different, the gospel different than any other religion in the world? And Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. Amen? So if I say religion, I'm not saying Christianity is a religion. However, it's different than any other religion in the world. And you know why? It's because the gospel did not come by man. Man, there's not a trace. It's not of human wisdom, human knowledge. It's not man's gospel. It's God's gospel. Amen? And I say, oh, Lord, how wonderful to know that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is not invented by humans. It's not a human message at all, because a human gospel can't do anything for you. It can't save you, can't set you free from death, sin, or the devil, or hell, or any of the rest of it. No, but Christianity makes everything different, loved one. You see, the gospel of grace could never come from man. And you know why? The reason? Because it would be full of self. It would be full of works. Flesh loves works. Do you understand? Look what I did. I'm better. You know what I'm saying? Or legalism. I kept all the rules. I didn't break a one. No, a gospel according to man would be welcomed by man. Do you understand that? But not the gospel of grace. Not the one that came down from heaven. I promise you, listen, the wisdom of man, I promise you, had they written the gospel, they would have never included Acts 4:12, where Luke tells us that, listen, there is not a name under heaven, given under heaven, by which men must be saved. There's no salvation in any of the other. See, man would say like today, oh, that's too narrow. There are many ways to God. No, there's not. Now look at verse 12. For I neither received it, Paul says, meaning it, meaning the gospel, of course. I didn't receive it from man. And he says, nor was I taught it. In other words, no man taught me. I didn't run down to the apostles and they, you know, taught me or go to school or anything like that. But it came through the unveiling, that's the revelation, the apocalypse, the unveiling, if you will, of Jesus Christ. Now listen, it's very important to remember something now. Paul is not saying that the gospel that I preach is different from the gospel that the other apostles were preaching. It's not. It's the exact same. He's just saying, I received it different than anyone else. I received the good news, the gospel, the word of God, independently from everyone else. And he says here, how did I receive it? The only way it came to me was by the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is he saying? He's saying that Jesus, the resurrected, ascended Savior, appeared to him. We know in a minute, we'll get into, you know, the Damascus Road experience, and taught him. No one else but Jesus Christ taught Paul. Man, I'll tell you, can you imagine what kind of experience that must have been? Man, listen, so what makes Christianity, what makes the gospel different than all the other religions in the world? Well, first of all, again, our gospel came from heaven. But human gospel came from the father of all lies, the wicked one, amen? The devil, yeah, there's only one gospel. Now listen, every other gospel, religion, whatever you want to say, on this earth is from man. It is not from God, not at all. There is only one message. We do not trust in a message, a gospel that was invented or manufactured by man, amen? That's right. Now, let's look at verse 13. This is Paul's pre-conversion experience. He's going to give us a lot of history in these chapters now, or especially where we're at this morning. He says, for you've heard of my former conduct in Judaism. In other words, before he was saved, before he became a believer. And look what he did, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure, to the extreme, and tried to destroy it. So persecution of believers in the church wasn't enough for Paul. Paul wanted to waste the church, waste the Christians, and so forth. So he says, you already know about my past. You know what I've done. I'm an open book. Everyone knows what I did. I tried to destroy the church, Jesus, and everybody else. Remember in Acts 8:3, it says, for Saul, that was his former name, it says he made havoc of the church. If you looked up that one Greek verb, it made havoc means to, it's a picture of a wild animal chasing down its prey and literally ripping it to pieces and devouring it. So when Paul says, I made havoc of the church, look what he did, man. He says, entering every house, dragging off men and women and committing them to prison. So Paul's only relationship before he came to Christ with the church was that of destruction. He wanted it wiped out. Listen to Paul in his own words in Acts 26:11. He says, I punished them, meaning believers, often in every synagogue, and I forced them to blaspheme. In other words, to deny Jesus Christ as their Lord. And he says, being exceedingly enraged against them, Paul says, I even persecuted the believers to foreign cities. Listen, Paul, was he a wild man? He was definitely a wild man. Now look at verse 14. And he's giving us a history about himself. He says, and I advanced. That word literally means a pioneer woodcutter. I blazed new trails. I outstripped everyone else in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation. Now watch this. Being more exceedingly zealous for the tradition of my fathers. More exceedingly zealous. You know what that means? Paul was a fanatic. But now listen carefully. Paul did not want anything to do with Christians or Jesus, but Paul loved God. He's old covenant man. Does that make sense? He loved the Lord. He was jealous for God. He loved the Word of God. He was of the strictest sect. He was a Pharisee, loved one. Man, listen, he was a fanatic, though, for legalism. In other words, he loved rules. He probably, as I'm sure he did, you know, when he tithed the mint. He would count everything out. And if he touched a Gentile or something, man, he would go wash his hands and, you know, probably pray for 5 hours. You know what I'm saying? You know, think about this for a moment. How many books are in the Law of Moses? 5. Man, you know, the first service, you guys are always sharp. It's that second service you better pray for. No, 5 books of Moses. Did you know you can probably take the 5 books of Moses and put all of that into about around 350 pages today, okay? But you know what they did, talking about Paul being a fanatic, Pharisees, legalism and rules. They compiled what's called the Talmud, the collection of oral and traditions and the law and what it meant and so forth. And it comprised a volume, loved one, listen to me, you ready for this? It replaced just the 5 books of Moses, basically, 523 volumes. Can you believe that? Now, that is a lot of rules. You should just read about the Sabbath rules, keeping the Sabbath. Oh, my gosh, that'll wear you out. Matter of fact, just me thinking about it wears me out, okay? No. So what makes Christianity different than all other religions on earth? It takes a person named Saul and transfers him into a Paul. Amen? It takes a person who wants to kill every Christian who is ready to die as a Christian. That's amazing. Where did all that occur? It occurred on the Damascus Road. Let me just read a few verses about that. It says in Acts 1:9, it says, "And then Saul, still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord," listen to what he did. He hated people, the Christians, so much. He went to the high priest. He said, "Ask them for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way was our first name for believers, by the way, he says, any of them that are for the way, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, in other words. He journeyed. He came to Damascus. He had his letters, man. He had his heart ready to kill people. And it says, here he comes. And suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Acts chapter 26 says it was brighter than the sun. I mean, it was the Shekinah glory of God. Now listen, he says, it shined all from heaven, all around me. And then he says, oh, I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You know that story as well as I do. But loved one, don't ever pass over that great doctrinal truth. Jesus said, he didn't say, Saul, Saul, why are you creating havoc in the church? He didn't say, why are you, Saul, why are you putting little children and men and women into prison and are making them recant me? He didn't say that. Jesus said something we should never forget. He said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, how in the world could Saul be persecuting Jesus Christ, the resurrected, ascended Lord who just appeared to him? Well, here's the reason. Is it says in Ephesians 5:30 that we are part of his body, his flesh. Amen? And whenever Christians are being persecuted, inflicted pain upon, or if we inflict pain upon one another, God forbid, it inflicts pain upon the one who died for us because we are the body of Christ. Amen? Oh, let us never be that way at all. And he goes and Paul asks this, the most important question that anyone can ask in life, because it determines one's eternal destiny. He says, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said to him, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads, isn't it, Saul? In other words, he's hurting him own self. And so Saul, trembling and astonished, here it comes. He said, Lord. That moment, Paul was a new creation in Christ. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Now listen, Paul writes about that experience actually in verse 15 of Galatians 1. Look at verse 15. It says, but when it pleased God, I mean at the right time in Saul's life, it says, when it pleased God who set me apart or separated me from my mother's womb, and look what he did, he called me through my ability. What version is that? That must be man's gospel, amen? No, he called me through his what? Grace, the divine, unmerited, unearned, unconditional favor of the living God. He called me, who was a chief of all sinners, Paul writes later on. Oh, listen, the conversion of Paul, it didn't happen because of man. It didn't happen because of Peter. It didn't happen because of James or John. Jesus Christ himself was the one who led Paul to himself. Amen? What a glorious moment. Man, that must have been. Isn't it amazing that not any man, not any person played any part in Paul's transformation, his calling, his apostleship, nor the revelation that Jesus gave him about the good news of the gospel? No one except Christ did all that. But listen carefully. When was Paul, it says, set apart for the gospel? When was Paul called? Was it on the Damascus Road? No, couldn't have been. It wasn't on the Damascus Road. That's when he heard his calling. That's when he received his calling. But it wasn't on the Damascus Road. It says, when it pleased God. When did it please God? Before he was ever born. Think about that for a moment. Before Paul was even aware of his own existence. Man, listen, the Bible tells us, loved one, in Ephesians 1:4, just as he, meaning God, chose us in him, meaning Jesus. When? Before the foundation of the earth. Before the earth ever even existed. Not a star, sun, moon, nothing. Before the first sunrise, sunset, it says he chose us. He chose you. Thank God he chose us. And it says, before the foundation of the world, and the reason that we should be holy, there's that same word, set apart for him and without blame before him in love. No religion on earth, no man-made religion on earth can make this claim. Only God who cannot lie. Amen? I think, oh God, thank you. Listen, we were set apart in eternity. I don't know how all that works. I don't care how that works. Is that okay? It doesn't matter to me. I just believe what he said. I thank you, Lord. I thought when I was growing up, I was an accident. You know what I'm saying? I mean, anyone that came from Keller would be, you know, if you would help me, because at least the radio would think, he's so funny. These guys are laughing, you know? No, listen. No, I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you that I'm not an accident. Thank you that I didn't know anything about it, but thank you that all of us, we were rooted in eternity. We didn't even know it. And I say, Lord, you're so good. Listen, what makes the gospel, what makes Christianity different than all religions in the world at any time? Well, because you know what God does in his word? He gives us answers that the other ones never could because they don't know, but God does. Just the simple, let's just take three simple, fundamental questions that every person in every generation, they ask. The first one is, where in the world did I come from? I believe some of us, I look at people today, and they may have evolved, okay? No, they act like animals. No, I know where I came from. The Bible tells me I came from Adam and Eve. Amen? See, that clears it up. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to do that. What's that thing called where you do your DNA? Ancestry.com. I don't have to go, where are you from? What's your DNA? I know where I came from. Adam. Now I'm no longer in Adam. Check my DNA now. You understand? I'm new creation. Yeah. No, I look at it and say, oh, Lord, where did I come from? I know. Why am I here? Why was I born? Well, Paul, we know why was he born. God called him to be an apostle. He didn't know anything about that. Paul didn't know he was going to write 13, I believe 14 books of the New Testament. Paul didn't know that he was going to be the greatest missionary that ever lived. Paul didn't know that one day he would say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He had no idea. He was sold out into Judaism, loved one. No, he didn't know those things. The third question is this, what is my destiny after I leave this planet? Well, we know the answer. We're going to a place prepared for us called heaven. Amen? The Bible says in Romans 8:28, and we all know, all of us, that all things work together for good to those who love God. Those that don't love God, it doesn't work very well for you. And to those who are the called, that's us, the called according to his purpose, meaning God has a plan for us. See, the Word of God answers all those things. Remember Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:9, he says, "Oh God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling." Here it comes, not according to our works, not because we earned it, but according to his own purpose and grace. There's that word again, grace, the gospel of grace. It says, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. We were born from above, but listen, before time began. Now, you and I, all of us, we were called all the way back in eternity past. Now, I don't know how to explain that, but my calling and being in Christ, I didn't receive that call until when that day on the beach, when that hippie walked up and I received Christ Jesus as Lord. But God called me, called you long before that, amen? He already knew that I wasn't a loser, that you weren't a loser. He knew that that day that I was looking at that sunset on the Jacksonville Beach in Florida, waiting for the sun to come up, loved one, he knew right then, in just a few minutes, I was going to be no longer Bad Billy. Do you understand? I was getting ready to be changed. Old things were about to pass away. All things were about to become new. I didn't have a clue, but God did. And all the junk that I did that was wrong, it's gone. It's washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now I'm born again. See, man, I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, you mean to tell me that we belong to you before time even began? That's right. And we're going to belong to God after time ceases. Amen? We're going to be with him forever and ever and ever. Now, it says, when it pleased God about Paul, look at verse 16. Look at the purpose of God. Paul says, to reveal his son, that's Jesus Christ, in me, and may I say in us as well. And the reason? God did it for the sake of others. It says that I might preach him, meaning Jesus our Lord, among the Gentiles. So God chose Paul in eternity past. However you figure that out, I don't know, I don't care. I just know he called him to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And whenever God calls us salvation, he always calls us to service. He didn't save us so we could just sit, amen? The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10 that we are created for good works, and God created them before the world ever was. All these good works, don't fail to step out into the good works that God has called you to do. And look what he says, and I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. No, Paul says, I'm changed. And what did he do? He threw out all human counsel. He said, I didn't need any help from any human being, relatives, or anybody else. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to who were the apostles before me. I didn't need their help either. But look what he did. But I departed. I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Now, listen, when Paul left Damascus, the Damascus Road experience, remember he went to Ananias and so forth, and Ananias prayed for him because Paul couldn't see, and the scales fell from his eyes. He was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He was already born again, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he was water baptized, and then after that, the Lord moved him, said it's time to leave. He went into Arabia, into the desert, for 3 years to be instructed by the Lord. He said, remember what he said about the source of the gospel? No man taught it to me. It came by revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, with all that being said, as we study this out, loved one, it's important to realize Paul goes to be prepared for ministry now. He's going to go into the desert. His whole world has been turned upside down. Let's put it that way. Now, there are those that say that he went into the Sinai in the Arabian area and so forth, even up to Mount Sinai, where Moses, of course, received the Ten Commandments. I don't know. If he did, praise the Lord. It doesn't matter. I just know he went into the desert. How's that sound? I mean, I could use an Arabian retreat. No. Do you know what? It's good to get away. Do you know the desert is a dry, lonely, unforgiving place? But man, when you get away from it all, no cell phones, you're out there, you know, and there's nothing but rattlesnakes. I don't know. But you know what? When you go away, like Paul, you can get a revelation from God.
Well, that's all of our time for today, but please join us tomorrow to hear the conclusion to The Source of the Gospel. And as always, we want to thank you for listening to Love Never Fails. We pray that your day is blessed. So long, everyone.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.